It is still too early to say that Colombia's long war is over. Just weeks ago, voters there rejected a peace deal. But peace talks continue, and in those negotiations, women are front and center. Research shows that in post-conflict countries where women are recognized as victims and given access to justice, peace is more likely to last. Realistically, though, how much justice can Colombian women expect? The world's Jasmine Garst has our story.
If you ever want to know what it feels like to be completely free, Yolanda Perea Mosquera recommends you go down to the town of Río Sucio, or Dirty River. Inquire about a horse named Paloma. It was gifted to her as a child.
Montar a caballo es ser libre. O sea, uno montase un caballo andar.
To ride a horse is to be free. You ride a horse on the bare savanna, it's pure green, and that pure air hits your forehead. You feel like you own the world. That's how I felt, like I own the world.
If you ever want to know what it's like to be completely terrified, Yolanda also wants to talk about that. The houses in the Colombian countryside often have dirt floors and no doors, only open doorways. So one night, a masked guerrilla fighter slipped in. She was 11. He was much bigger than her, and he had a gun.
He left, and I hid in the back of the stable. My mom found me. She picked me up, and my clothing was covered in blood.
This is when life unraveled. She says she lost the concept of time.
The only thing I still liked to do was go fishing. It distracted me. I would look at that water, and it was clean. And I wondered if I jumped in, if the water would wash away this filth I felt at times. It was like a filth on my body, and I couldn't get it off.
Several weeks later, Yolanda miscarried. She didn't know she was pregnant. Her mother went to report the assault to the rebel commander. He called Yolanda a liar. Soon after, several guerrilla fighters showed up at the house. Yolanda followed her mom to the door.
She put her hand on my chest and she said, "No. Listen to me, Maria Yolanda Perea Mosquera. You aren't coming with me. You're going to take care of your brothers."
It was the last words the two ever spoke. Yolanda went off to the kitchen.
When I got there, it started raining bullets.
There's this word that keeps coming up when I speak to victims of the Colombian War. Venganza. Revenge. Some say they no longer need it. Many would still like to have it. And somewhere in the town of Río Sucio, it was all 11-year-old Yolanda could think about.
Un momento que en serio yo quise hacer parte de la guerrilla solo por vengarme.
I wanted to join the guerrilla just to get revenge. I wanted them to teach me to make bombs, grenades, whatever they did to kill people. And then I was going to turn around and kill them.
They didn't let her join. "You're too angry," they told her.
And I said, "I better come up with something else." When the guerrilla fighters were thirsty, sometimes they would come asking for water or juice. So I made a juice. I mixed it with a chemical I used to disinfect the animals. I got dressed. I headed to the guerrilla camp. My plan was to give it to the man who had hurt me. And on the way, I ran into my cousin. And he said he was thirsty and could he have a drink? I froze. I dropped the jar and spilled the juice on the ground. And that's when I said, I can't get revenge.
Colombians' widespread desire for vengeance might stem from the knowledge that justice for victims is a rare thing here. After over half a century of war, nearly a quarter of a million deaths and 45,000 disappearances, there's just too many bones to sift through and not enough money to do it. And then there's the issue of women.
They lost their sons or their compañeros. And the second thing is that women suffered much more rapes and sexual humiliations than men.
Maria Emma Wills Obregón leads the Department of Gender and Women at Colombia's Historical Memory Commission.
The women they chose to be punished were those women who had a leadership role or who transgressed the codes they had established in these villages.
It wasn't until the 90s, when the mass rapes in Rwanda and Yugoslavia came to light, that the UN defined rape in war as a crime against humanity. A few years ago, Colombia followed suit.
You know, we have worked so hard to, you know, speak out about sexual violence, speak out about women's rights.
Catalina Maria Diaz heads Colombia's Department of Transitional Justice. She says a lot of victims just want acknowledgement.
I think it's very clear that victims want the truth. They wanted the person responsible acknowledging what happened. Because some victims even experience these accusations of being liars.
So when Colombia recently started hammering out a deal with the guerrillas, there was a lot of pressure on the government to focus on women. And it worked. The agreement had an entire chapter on victims' rights, which
included the creation of a truth commission. And that truth commission included a specific gender team.
The agreement was hailed as one of the most inclusive peace deals ever written. And then, a few weeks ago, a slim majority of Colombians voted against it. They said it was just too lenient on war criminals. They wanted more punishment. But not Yolanda.
Sí, yo voté por el sí.
I voted yes. And if I have to do it again, I'll vote yes again.
Yolanda gets it, the desire for justice and punishment. The chances that she'll get either are very slim. It's been over 2 decades since her assault. And here's the thing. War rapes are extremely hard to prove. The evidence is gone, and Yolanda has no idea who raped her. She might have come close to finding out a few years ago. She was working on a government-sponsored project. She and other victims were traveling the country by bus, sharing their stories with different communities, a sort of museum on wheels.
Y yo estaba ahí un día. Estábamos en la ruta.
And this man stopped by. He specifically wanted to hear my story. He started crying. I got close to him and put my hand on his shoulder. And then he told me that around that time, he had been a rebel fighter in my town. I told him, don't worry. These things happened. We have to move on.
The former fighter left, and Yolanda got off the bus. She broke down in tears, kicking the bus tires furiously.
Y ahí entendí que la vida da tantas vueltas.
And that's when I got it.
Que cada momento nos
Life takes a lot of turns.
Preciso.
And each moment puts us in the right place to get rid of our hatred.
A few years ago, Yolanda started up an organization for young Afro-Colombian women, victims of the war, to teach them about their rights. In her free time, she goes fishing with her daughter. For the world, Jasmine Garst, Colombia.